weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. The defending champion Desert Foxes of Algeria have begun their qualifying campaign for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament by thrashing the Chipolopolo of Zambia. Samson Omale has the result of the Algeria-Zambia match, as well as Thursday's other Nations Cup qualifiers. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Zambia's qualification campaign for the 2021 African Cup of Nations got off to a disappointing start on Thursday night when they were thumped 5-0 by defending champions Algeria at the Mustafa Tacha Stadium in Blinda. In Ghana, the Black Stars got their campaign off to a good start after humbling Bafana Bafana 2-0 at the Cape Coast Stadium also on Thursday. Coach Molefi Ntseki suffered his first competitive defeat in charge of Bafana Bafana.
There will be some games where you will prepare well to win and you don't, but at the same time, you have to soldier on and be positive.
In Alexandria, the Pharaohs were held 1-1 by the Harambee Stars at the Burj Arab Stadium in Alexandria in an early evening game, with Mohamed Kariba's goal late in the first half cancelled out midway through the second by Michael Olunga. The result means Comoros are the surprise early leaders of Group G after a goal from Faiz Salmani saw them defeat host Togo 1-0 in a concurrent game in Lome. The Group D match between DR Congo's Leopards and the Panthers of Gabon ended in a goalless stalemate in Kinshasa, while there was a rather more goal-mouth action on show in Bamako as the West African Derby between Group A sides Mali and Guinea ended 2-2.
Thanks, Samson. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. In one other Nations Cup qualifying result Thursday, Mozambique defeated visiting Rwanda 2-0 in Maputo. Both goals came in the first half. Mozambique was awarded a penalty shot after 27 minutes for a handball, and Tolinho stepped up and converted the spot kick. And just 2 minutes later, France-based defender Mexer scored from close range. Final score from Maputo, Mozambique 2, Rwanda 0. Meanwhile, Nigeria began its Nations Cup qualifying campaign Wednesday when it beat visiting Benin 2-1 in Uyo. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will now travel to Maseru to play the Crocodiles of Lesotho Sunday in another Nations Cup qualifier. Lesotho began the qualifying competition with a 1-1 draw against Sierra Leone in Freetown. Ahead of the Nigeria-Lesotho qualifier, Iron Mike Mbonye reached the media officer of the Super Eagles, Toyin Ibitoye.
We are very happy that we are cutting our 2021 AFCON qualifiers off to a good start. There is nothing better than starting well. But of course, you know that after you start well, it is important for you to stay consistent and maintain a good momentum so that you can also finish very well. But it was not an easy game. It was a tough game against the Scorers of Benin Republic. But we are happy that after the setback of going behind early in the game, we were able to come back to score and eventually win the game. But we are happy that we have a good start. It's always good to start well. Unlike the last time, you remember, we lost our first game at home to South Africa and eventually qualified with a game to spare. But this time, you can imagine what will happen with a good start like this if we maintain that momentum. So we are very happy that we have a good start.
What are expectations in the match against the Crocodiles of Lesotho on Sunday?
Well, on Sunday, against Lesotho, you know, in African football, you don't have Minos anymore. You saw Comoros beating Togo at home. You saw Kenya playing a draw with Egypt in Cairo. So you cannot take anybody for granted. Lesotho went to Sierra Leone and played the 1-1 draw. So they are also in confident mode. So we will approach the game with all the seriousness it deserves. Of course, we want to play to win. Victory will give us 6 points and will make us very healthy leaders in the group. So we will go out there to do our best, to play well, to win for our country, and to also maintain our good start to the AFCON 2021 qualifiers.
Do you have any injury scare after the Nigeria-Benin match?
Well, Mike, we don't have any injury worries in our camp. All our players are good to go. All the 23 players have been training and they have been in good shape. Of course, after the game against Benin, there are a few knocks, but there are nothing to worry about. All our players will be good to go on Sunday.
What message do you have for Nigerians as the Super Eagles begin the race to the 2021 AFCON?
Yes, we want Nigerians to continue to support us, to pray for us, and to wish us well. We appreciate all the support. We appreciate all the goodwill. Nigeria is a massive, massive country. It's a privilege to be among those who are representing this country in whatever capacity. And as Super Eagles, we want to tell them that we will do our best to make them proud, and they should keep supporting. And hopefully, we will qualify for the AFCON again, and hopefully, we will be able to do better than we did the last time.
That's Toyin Ebitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Uyo, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Toyin Ebitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Rwandan government says recent visits by Russian tennis ace Maria Sharapova and other sports stars have helped boost overall tourism numbers. Ejen Uimana reports from Kigali, Rwanda.
That is the silverback gorilla moving before Maria Sharapova, a tennis superstar who is looking at gorillas and other wildlife in Ghana's Volcanoes National Park. Sharapova didn't talk to the media, but she tweeted, "We are falling in love with your country, truly." Early morning treks to locate the gorillas, getting caught in a rainforest downpour, witnessing a silverback, the big daddy of all big daddies, walk right past ours without a care in the world, thankfully so special. Let alone, Sharapova met with Uganda's president, Paul Kagame. Her visit comes after a similar one last month by Arsenal football star David Luiz.
Moment for me, I was enjoying a lot. And this program of stability, I think, is going to continue to improve. And I hope in 5 years, or I hope to come back here before. But I hope we can, in 5 years, can continue to be a fantastic program and help the community, help everybody here, and help the flores, help the jungle, help the gorillas, help everybody to enjoy a lot. So this is my dream, and this I think is the goal of the country.
Northern Rwanda, the home of endangered gorillas, have welcomed many sports stars this year. They include Louis van Gaal, the former Manchester United coach, and the Arsenal legend and the former England captain Tony Adams. After visiting gorillas, they all sound satisfied, which is the aim of the Rwandan government. This is Tony Adams.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. It's twice now I've been on treks to see the gorillas. And it's just a fantastic experience to be this close away from a big silverback.
When these footballers say it is fantastic, it means dollars for Rwanda. In May last year, Rwanda inked a massive advertising deal with the Arsenal Football Club, a 3-year deal worth £30 million. With this agreement, the English Football Club has been advertising Visit Rwanda on the players' sleeves. The Rwandan government says this has helped lift overall tourism numbers by 8%. Rwanda Development Board says the number of tourists from England alone has climbed by 5% compared to the previous period. According to these statistics, Rwandans will keep seeing football stars as the strategy is working. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ejen Uimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Guest host Kim Lewis and VOA senior correspondent Brian Padden speak with conservative political analyst Ramesh Panuru, senior editor for National Review, and visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute about the founding philosophy of the Republican Party, its current values, and future direction. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
And thank you, Daniel Igale, for that shout out. As Samson Omale reported earlier, the defending champion Desert Foxes of Algeria kicked off their 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying campaign by routing the Chipolopolo of Zambia 5-0. On July 19th, the Algerians lifted their second Nations Cup trophy after beating Senegal 1-0 in the final in Cairo, Egypt. Algerian striker Bagdad Bouneja scored the game's only goal in the second minute. Bouneja cut in from the left and shot with his right foot from just outside the penalty area. The ball took a huge deflection off Senegalese defender Salif Sané and looped over the goalkeeper and down into the right corner of the net. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, Samson Omale reports there were joyous celebrations for the Desert Foxes in Algeria.
African Cup of Nations champions, Algeria arrived home to a hero's welcome from a huge crowd of joyful supporters and a water salute for their plane at Algiers Airport. Tens of thousands of flag-waving fans lining the road from the airport chanted as the players went on a victory parade through the capital in an open-top bus. An early strike earned a 1-0 victory over Senegal in Friday's final in Cairo. It was Bagdad Bouneja who gave Algeria a dream start in the second minute when his deflected shot looped over Senegal goalkeeper Alfred Gomes, and it proved enough for the 1990 champions to lift the trophy on a foreign soil for the first time. Some football fans described Algeria's victory as well-deserved.
They scored early, and which is natural. Sometimes you try to hold on to what you have. You know, they made it difficult for the Senegalese, but that, at that moment, we saw a Senegalese team that showed a lot of character. They showed a lot of desire, and that's all you can ask when you lose. They gave everything on the pitch today.
They're sitting in, they're managing the game, they got their goal in the first minute. Why open it? Lift the trophy, that's it.
And staying with the African Cup of Nations, 2019 AFCON winners, Desert Foxes of Algeria, will receive a cash reward of $4.5 million for emerging champions of the tournament, while the Teranga Lions of Senegal, who emerged first runners-up, will collect $2.5 million. Nigeria's Super Eagles will receive a $2 million cash prize for their third-place finish. CAF unveiled all the participating teams' earnings at the tournament, with host Faroes, who were eliminated in the second round, consoling themselves with a total prize money of $670,000. The 2019 African Cup of Nations may be well over, but there are still stories making the headlines as a result of the fallout from the championship. Nigeria striker Odion Ighalo announced on Saturday his retirement from international football after winning the Golden Boot at the African Cup of Nations. The 30-year-old Shanghai Shenhua striker struck five times as the Super Eagles finished third in Egypt, bagging him the top scorer honors with two goals more than Sadio Mane and Riyad Mahrez and Cedric Bakambu. In total, Ighalo scored 16 goals for Nigeria in 35 appearances, and he also captained the country's under-20 team to the 2009 World Cup, also held in Egypt. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Tim Henman has been named captain of the British team in the brand new ATP Cup, which will be played in Australia in January. The British team will be based in Sydney, which was the venue for Henman's first ATP title in 1997. The 45-year-old Henman won 11 career titles and more than $11 million in prize money before retiring in 2007. Craig Gabriel caught up with Tim Henman in London. Here's Craig.
With Tim Henman for ATP Cup and Tennis Australia. Tim Henman, you're going to be captain of the Great Britain team. Tell me how excited you are about that and how it came about.
I'm very excited about it, and it really came about through Andy Murray. The format in the ATP Cup is the number one player can choose the captain, and about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, he sort of messaged me and said, looking for a captain, how about it? And it really wasn't something that had been on my radar, but I was aware of the event, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized it would be a lot of fun to lead the team. And I think he, you know, had a big part in, you know, my decision. I've known Andy a long time. I've always had a very good relationship with him. Knowing what he's done, not only for British tennis, but world tennis. I felt like it could be a really exciting, event to be involved with.
Tell me how excited you are about this, because it's your first time as being captain of a Great Britain tennis team.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's new territory for me, but you know, I've played in team events a lot over the years and worked under a lot of different captains, so yeah, I'm excited about a new role, if you like. I think the event in itself is very exciting to have in three different cities, 24 teams. You've got 9 of the top 10. 26 of the top 30 playing. It's the ideal scenario, I think, early on in the year for the players to get matches in a great competition, and it obviously leads in extremely well to the Australian Open.
Would you have liked to have seen an event like the ATP Cup in your playing days?
Well, I mean, we had something similar with the World Team Cup, which was the week before the French. I didn't always like to play the week before a Grand Slam, but I did play in that a few times, and it was fun. I think we are so used to being individuals, so to be part of a team environment. I played in 3 Olympic Games, and I always enjoyed that. So this has similarities, and I think we're all really looking forward to it.
The importance of having Andy Murray back on court. Just talk about that.
I think, you know, the story of Andy Murray coming back from the hip resurfacing is something a lot bigger than tennis. There are lots of people who have had new hips and it's sort of had a massively positive impact on their lives, but there are not too many people at 32 who are trying to play professional sport and you know, to reflect on him in January in Melbourne in tears in the press conference, thinking that his career is probably over, to then 9 months later winning a main tour event in Antwerp is just an inspirational story, and I think it can help you know, so many other people, you know, not just Andy.
About yourself, when you left playing, you pretty much stayed put. You didn't do much TV or travel or anything. Mm. It's changed now. As your wife Lucy said, time for you to get out of the house now. The girls saying, get out of the house, Dad.
I think it's a little bit easier when your children are a little bit older. My three girls are 17, nearly 15 and 12. So to be away a little bit is more straightforward. But for me, my involvement when I stopped playing tennis is always centered around Wimbledon. On the tournament board there for the last 11 years. The television work I've done has just really been around the BBC at Wimbledon and the World Tour Finals. But now doing a little bit more here with Prime Video, I was at the US Open for the first time in 12 years. I was at the French Open this year, and I've enjoyed that. And I think it's important with my role at Wimbledon to be around the game, both men and women, to understand what's going on. And this is a slightly different element, but again, I'm excited to be part of a huge tournament. And the fact that the sun will be shining in Sydney is no bad thing either.
I'll get to that in a second. But what do you think it's going to feel like for you when you see some of your contemporaries as national captains as well during the ATP Cup?
Yeah, I think I think that adds to the it adds to the appeal and the sort of general rivalry as a whole. There will be I would have thought some players playing in the event that I competed against. There'll certainly be a lot of captains that I competed against, and that just makes it a very exciting format. So, again, really looking forward to it.
All right, let's just get to these cities now, and Great Britain's going to be based out of Sydney. You had happy hunting grounds in Sydney at the old White City Stadium. How long has it been since you've been back to Sydney and back to Australia?
So I was back at the Australian Open in 2017 for the Australian Open. Sydney, I would have thought, I was there for the Olympics. I think I probably played Sydney one time after that, so it's going to be a good 17, 18, 19 years. For me, it was a no lose situation. I've never been to Perth or Brisbane, so I'd have been delighted to visit a new city. Sydney was where I won my first title in 1997. So a lot of great memories. And I'm a huge fan of Australia. I love the Australian summer. It's probably the one trip that I really missed when I retired from professional tennis. I love the people. I love the way that they embrace sport, the outdoor lifestyle, the weather. It certainly ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Well, we look forward to welcoming you back. Tim Hemman, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the ATP Cup and your new role as captain.
Thank you very much.
That's Tim Hemman, who will captain the British team at the inaugural ATP Cup tennis tournament, which will be held in Australia in January. And Tim was talking with Craig Gabriel in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Football League action Thursday night, the Cleveland Browns beat the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers 21-7 in a game that ended in an ugly brawl between the teams. The AP's Matt Lodi reports from Cleveland, Ohio.
For the first time since 2014, the Cleveland Browns are victorious over the Pittsburgh Steelers as they top Pittsburgh 21-7 at First Energy Stadium in a game marred by the ejection of Browns defensive end Myles Garrett with 8 seconds left. Garrett was tossed after swinging a helmet at Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph after he tackled Rudolph. On the field, Baker Mayfield threw for a pair of scores on 193 yards. He said after the game, it feels a bit like a loss after the situation with Garrett.
Instead of feeling like we just won a game that we really needed, we talk about a singular focus and mindset. It feels like we lost, and so it's going to take time for us to realize that we just won this game, even though it's very obvious on the scoreboard.
Rudolph threw for 221 yards and a score and 4 interceptions. The Steelers fall to 5-5. The Browns improved to 4-6. Matt Lodi, Cleveland.
Thanks, Matt. Reports say Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett and all players involved in the wild end-of-game brawl will be under review by the NFL for possible suspensions. Video of Garrett swinging Rudolph's helmet at the Pittsburgh quarterback is trending across social media here in the United States on this Friday, and many people are calling on Garrett to be suspended for the rest of the season, and maybe longer. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the November 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan visited the White House on Wednesday, at a time when Ankara's relations with NATO and the West are strained. Guest host VOA senior analyst Jeffrey Young discusses the situation with Middle East Institute and U.S. Institute of Peace analyst Dr. Graham Bannerman and Foundation for the Defense of Democracies analyst Akan Erdemir. Listen for it on Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 1929, Edwin Hubble, astronomer and namesake of the famous space telescope, provided evidence that the universe was expanding. To determine the rate of expansion, Hubble came up with a unit of measurement called the Hubble constant. Initially, Hubble estimated the universe was expanding at a rate of 500 kilometers per second per megaparsec. A megaparsec is equal to about 3.26 million light years. Over the years, astronomers have lowered estimates of the Hubble constant down to between 50 and 100 kilometers per megaparsec. Astrophysicists from Clemson University recently used new techniques and data from the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope and the Imaging Atmospheric Cherenkov Telescopes to determine the Hubble constant. They estimate the universe is expanding at a rate of nearly 67.5 kilometers per second per megaparsec. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.